mamas, and welcome. Thank you for tuning in to my very own Mom Bod podcast. I am still so very excited to be here with you guys. My name is Quintanya, aka Q, and I am bringing you the real and raw side of motherhood with this new podcast. Designed for moms who are struggling physically, emotionally, and mentally with adjusting to motherhood, all while balancing marriage, job, and of course, self-care. How do moms do it? Quite frankly, we don't know. But that is why I am here in this moment to guide you through it together. It's not easy, far from, and probably the hardest job there is. I am here in hopes to give you a village for moms by a mom because simply I understand. So come join my Mom Bod Village to get the inside scoop of my mom life, my journey before, during, and after pregnancies, my working mom experiences, how on earth I keep my health and fitness in check, my marriage, and so much more. Things about to get real deep, but oh so necessary. Good morning and happy March to all of my Mom Bod Village. I am so excited to be back here on the microphone, here to share my journey with you guys. If this is your first time listening, welcome. I'm so glad you decided to join me on season two, as this is going to be so exciting. And if you have already been listening in since season one, thank you for coming back. So with season two, I am really going to be diving in about my journey. And it's really about over the past few months for me since the end of 2021 till now, it has been eye-opening experiences from my mental capacity, physical capacity. I mean, everything that I have learned about myself, I am so ready to share in hopes of reaching someone, specifically a mom. Y'all know I love my moms. How to genuinely take care of yourself and how to genuinely gain that confidence that sometimes we lose after childbirth. And I think it's important. So with this episode, again, I am going to be going in depth about different tools and methods that I've had to implement, different books that I've had to read, different sessions that I've had to have with my counselor, also that I can genuinely feel happy. And I'm not talking about just waking up and smiling and being thankful that I'm alive. You know, this is me wanting so much more for myself, understanding more of myself on a deeper level, and not accepting anything less. And for you moms out there, that is so important. It really is. And so with this episode, again, that's what we're going to be talking about. If this is your first time, great. I highly suggest you going back to season one, learning more about my life, the inside scoop, basically, on who I am, where I'm from. And so that way, you know, going into season two, it kind of makes more sense. But it's been a long time coming. I'm settled in my new place. I'm with my family. I'm working a new job. And so all of that now, y'all, it was tiring. It really was. And I really had to gather my thoughts and I really had to gather myself so that I am able to give y'all my all with this next season. All right. So buckle up, get ready, because it is about to get so good. I am so excited for this content that I have. It is, y'all, it's mind-blowing. It's really going to make you want to go out and learn more, hopefully. If not, that's okay. I'll keep providing the resources. You don't have to worry about that. But there'll be more information in the description box. Also, you'll see my Instagram link. Please feel free to shoot out a message to let me know what you think. Let me know if there's other topics or any concerns or anything else that might not have been as clear in this episode as you needed it to be. So again, welcome back, Mom Bod Village. Here we go. Let me start off with sharing my most favorite personal development blog, and it is called Mark and Angel Hack Life by Mark and Angel Chernoff. Their website contains over 900 articles on happiness, productivity, emotional intelligence. I mean, even relationships and just general self-improvement. I even listened to their audiobook, Getting Back to Happy. That is how good their content is. Of course, I subscribe to their content because duh. So in a recent email that I received from them, It was titled 10 Things We Should Say to Ourselves More Often. I decided to choose 5 of them to share with you guys because they stood out to me the most from my own personal life and they were most relevant to this episode's content. So let's go ahead, talk about these 5 things that I think we should say to ourselves way more often. Number 1, there is a big difference between empty fatigue and gratifying exhaustion. Life is short. As often as possible, I will invest in the activities that move me. If that is not me, y'all, that is me. Number 2, I cannot control everything that happens. I can only control the way I respond to what happens. In my response is my power. How many of y'all try to control literally every little thing about every little part of your day? It's crazy. It's exhausting. Number 3, I will never be as good as everyone tells me when I win, and I will never be as bad as I think when I lose. All about that mindset that you have after the fact. What do you think of yourself? Number 4, I will think less about managing my problems and more about managing my mindset. I will keep it positively focused. Basically what I just said, it's all about the mindset. And last but not least, number 5, if I don't have time for what matters, I will stop doing things that don't. Y'all, Mark and Angel are my favorite. Even if I don't read every email that I receive from them, when I do open it, it be spot on right. And I mean right when I need it. And so with that, the bottom line is, despite the real world challenges you face, the biggest and most complex obstacle you will have to personally overcome on a daily basis is your own mind. Y'all, mindset is so powerful. We don't even know how powerful it is. Okay. So of course, yes, you can think better, which means you can tap into your inner strength and ultimately live better one day at a time. As moms, this can come off as a little difficult simply because we have kids. Some of us have jobs. Some of us are busy, right? We're taking care of family, but have to tap into that inner strength, okay? This is for your sake, your health. Your health is the only thing you're responsible for. So it is sometimes easier said than done because of all the factors that I just listed, but thinking better when you're in the heat of a tough season, like I just had recently, and I mean, it was the craziest of seasons, or even at your own personal crossroads in life, that takes a lot of guidance and a lot of practice. So I share all that to say the rough season that I had been having with my first semester of grad school, moving across country from Colorado to Maryland, like it was so difficult. And amongst that, having my own internal conflicts with myself and where I thought I wanted to be, what I thought I wanted to be doing, changing jobs, adjusting, getting used to this, you know, change of development within my kids. Like it was all like, felt like anyway, that it was crashing and burning. And so as a mom, it usually feels like when we drop one ball, or as my best friend and my counselor told me, trying to hold all the rubber balls under the water and hoping none of them come out of water. Like it was crazy. And my best friend has always told me, you know, if you're going to be juggling things, make sure you drop the rubber ones and not the glass ones. And you can look into as deep into that concept as you need to, but basically, you know, rubber bounces, the rubber ones will come back up and you'll be fine. However, if the bigger glass ones shatter, then pretty much that's it. So you have to be able to determine which one's rubber and which one's glass. And so I really had to learn the difference in that concept and apply that to my own personal life. And so I learned, you know, that PCS, that's a glass. That is something that I could not drop the ball on. Those were things that I knew my kids needed daycare. I know that we needed a house. I know that we had to make our way across country. The rubber ones obviously was my podcast, because here we are months later. And I'm rebounding from all the time that I felt like I had lost. However, I now realize that it was time that I needed to take. I was able to stop applying pressure to myself to feel like I needed to be pushing out my weekly episodes. Although I really wanted to, it wasn't necessary. It was not necessary for me to do that at that time because that is not what I needed at that time. Okay, I really moved my focus to other things, and it was good. It was great. The time that I would have spent planning and recording and that was able to be allotted towards something else, like my counseling sessions or packing a box or looking for daycare, calling daycares, you know, that type of planning. And so that's why I shared those top five things, because you have to do things that serve you where you are at. And you have to be content with it. Not only do you have to do it, you have to be content with it and you have to accept it. You and only you. It's not up to anybody else. It's not up to your spouse. It's not up to your kids. It's not even up to your parents. You know, we grow up and we rely heavily on our parents for that guidance and that direction. But we grown, right? It's adulthood. That's what adulthood is. We make decisions and we have to learn to be content with them, whether it's what we want to do or not. My best friend has also told me feelings have nothing to do with it. You do what you have to do because you have to do it. And that's basically what I've been doing over the past few months. Moving on to one of my favorite psychology concepts, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. This is very important to know as far as growth, knowing where you're at and knowing where you want to go, because growth needs do not stem from a lack of something, but rather from a desire to grow as a person. And I like this concept. I'm even surprised that I remember. This is from Psych 101, my freshman year of college, but this theory stood out so much to me and it makes so much sense. And it really helped me understand my current mental state as far as me realizing this is self-actualization. I have reached the top of the hierarchy of needs. At least that's what I feel, you know. And this self-actualization it's so nice. Like once you get to this point, it's great. So I'm going to talk about those needs individually. I know over time things might have changed and been updated, so I'm going over the most basic version. I'll have the link in the description box so that way it can take you directly to the most updated version. There might be a few more needs than the five that I have, but I'm going to talk about them individually. So starting, I give a little bit more of a background. So the psychologist's name is Abraham Maslow, and he wrote this theory on human motivation way back when, and it talks about the psychology of this five-tier model, of course, of human needs. So from the bottom, and you work your way up. So as you reach your bottom needs and you get to the top, that self-actualization, that's the way it works. So the needs are from the bottom again, physiological needs, then safety needs, and then love and belonging needs, esteem needs, and then your self-actualization. When you have like been more or less satisfied of each level, that need to satisfy that will go away. And your activities become habitually directed towards meeting the next set of needs that we have yet to satisfy. So your needs do lower down, or needs lower down in the hierarchy must be satisfied before individuals can go up to the next level. All right. So starting with physiological needs, these are your basic biological requirements: your food, water, drink, shelter, clothing, warmth, sex, sleep, your human necessities, okay? Your human necessities. Number two, your safety needs. People like to experience order. They want to experience order and predictability and control over their lives. And so this can be fulfilled by a school system, knowing that your education is taken care of, or a police system, you know, making sure that your environment is protected and safe. Medical care, right? Making sure those needs are met. Number three, love and belonging. So belongingness refers to your human emotional need for interpersonal relationships. Having that connectedness and being part of a group, like a friendship or even a marriage. Receiving and giving that affection, love. Okay, number four, esteem needs. self-worth, accomplishment, and respect. Now, the psychologist Maslow, he did break these up into two categories. The first one being your esteem for oneself, your self-esteem, obviously, having dignity, independence, self-achievement. And then number two, the desire for reputation or respect from others, like desiring a high status. And then last but not least, that self-actualization. So this is the realization of a person's potential, self-fulfillment, seeking personal growth and peak experiences. This is the desire to accomplish everything that one can to become the most. All right. Becoming the most that one can be. And so those are the five needs that I have. And I personally like them, again, because it really helps walk through the steps of making sure your needs are met. We can't just skip levels. All right. We definitely cannot skip levels. But although we are all theoretically capable of reaching that final point, self-actualizing, that word gets me every time, self-actualizing, most of us will not do so, or only to a limited degree. But why does this even matter? You're probably like, Q, what in the world are you talking about? Why do I need to be focused on all these needs? Well, I briefly mentioned that it is important to know your needs as a person, as well as a human being, and how to achieve them. Because we all know when needs or expectations go unmet, it causes problems, right? It causes anger and resentment and frustration. And those are all types of emotions that people don't want to experience. But if you do, then let me know, because we need to talk. There are more things that need to be talked about rather than this. But I feel like self-actualization is something that everyone wants to reach. We all want to understand ourselves better. We all want to be understood. We all want to have a goal that we feel like we are capable of achieving. We all want that self-positivity. And again, if you don't, we need to talk, because we all want that self-positivity, okay? I'm just saying, we all do. So again, I feel like I have reached at least a portion of getting to the top of those needs. I do feel like my physiological needs are met. I do feel safe. I do feel connected to a very close group of friends and my husband and my family. And I have self-esteem. And it took a lot to get to that point. But I feel like over the past few months, I got through that. I had been working on that fourth level over the past few months. Hence that mental breakdown that I had back in, I think it was like October, September, sometime when, and that's what it was. That need was not met. I didn't feel like I had any self-respect or any self-worth. I hadn't had boundaries with certain things, and I had come to realize that. And when I wanted to do something about it, that's when that need got met. When I went back to my counselor and said, hey, I'm struggling with this, that's when that need got met. And so now I am at my self-actualization, because I have come to terms with those things. I had worked on that. I had worked on implementing tools and resources that would help me. Okay. And so if you feel like this is someone you are, or someone you want to look like, if you want to be a self-actualizer, if that is someone you want to be, well, here are 15 characteristics of a self-actualizer. Number one, they perceive reality efficiently and can tolerate uncertainty. Number two, they accept themselves and offers for what they are and others for what they are. Sorry. Number three, spontaneous in thought and action. Number four, they are problem-centered, not self-centered. Number five, unusual sense of humor. Six, able to look at life objectively. Seven, highly creative. Eight, resistant to enculturation, but not purposely unconventional. Nine, concerned for the welfare of humanity. 10, capable of deep appreciation of basic life experience. 11, Establish deep, satisfying interpersonal relationships with a few people. 12, peak experiences. 13, need for privacy. 14, democratic attitudes. And last but not least, 15, strong moral and ethical standards. Again, those are 15 characteristics. Rewind it back, listen to them again. And if any of those stand out to you or things that you are currently working on, kudos, right? Kudos to you. Keep working on it. That is what we want to see. We want that self-actualization, but we also have to implement, right? You can't wish and pray on something and not put in that work. You definitely have to put in work and time to get to that level, all right? It is not going to happen overnight. It is going to require a lot of self-discipline, a lot of commitment, and you finally accepting you loving yourself. You're probably like, okay, Q, yeah, I'm working on it. Or maybe you're even like, no, Q, I don't even know how to get started on those things. Either way, we're all on different paths, and that's okay. But I will share more tips. Again, y'all, I promise all of the links are in the description box of this episode, okay? This is not just all me, okay? I reached out for some resources, had to get y'all some credible info because I did not do this myself, and I know y'all can't do it yourself either. So believe me, click on those links or go to those links. If they don't work, reach out to me and I'll get you the information, okay? But again, I understand if you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you have no idea what level you're at, what your needs are, we can talk one-on-one. I promise, y'all. I don't bite. Reach out. Let's talk it out. And we'll get to the bottom of what it is that you need and get you those resources, okay? So, but how, if you are aware and you're working on it, or if you're not, either way, it doesn't matter. Okay, these are behaviors that lead to you reaching self-actualization. Remember, we cannot skip steps. We cannot. All right? So it doesn't matter where you are. No, you're not going to just jump to the top and be this super clear person, all perspective, all that. No, it's not going to happen. All right? So find out where you are, implement these things, and it'll get you to the top. So number one of the behavior leading list to self-actualization is experiencing life like a child with full absorption and concentration. 2, trying new things instead of sticking to safe paths. As we all know, the road of least resistance is the one that needs to be traveled. Okay. Everyone's heard that one before, I hope. Number 3, listening to your own feelings in evaluating experiences instead of the voice of tradition, authority, or the majority. 4, avoiding pretense and being honest. 5, being prepared to be unpopular if your views do not coincide with those of the majority. 6, taking responsibility and working hard. Y'all, I just said that. It's not going to happen overnight. You have to do the work. Your counselor can't do it for you. You actually got to follow instructions. Do your homework. Lastly, trying to identify your defenses and having the courage to give them up. I do want you guys to remember that self-actualization is great, but it does not equal perfection. All right? It just involves achieving one's potential. People can still be rude. All right? They can still be impolite. Right? They could still be our least favorite people in a room, but they could still be at that self-actualization phase. They know who they are and they're content with it. They know that they have reached their full potential, whether that's being good or bad. All right. So a great statistic, which is very, very surprising, is that less than 2% of the population achieves this level. That is absolutely bizarre. All right. The lack of self-awareness in the world, I just can't wrap my head around it, because we really just out here living. Like, who does that? All of us, actually, right? All of us are really just out here going through our day-to-day routines and not really paying attention to the world around us. Half of you, I'm sure, y'all are on your cell phones when you're doing just about anything and everything. You're not halfway listening in conversations. I know I'm guilty of that one. And it's not something that I'm proud of. And maybe it's not something that you're proud of. But again, rewind it back. Listen to these behaviors that is going to get you to being a self-actualizer and put in the work. All right. Write it down in your planner, schedule some time to get these things done and practice them, because practice does make perfect. Self-actualization does not equal perfection, but implementing these behaviors, that'll make you a better person for tomorrow. So how I even wrapped my head around having content for this one episode was the fact that in one of my sessions with my counselor, he mentioned the word codependency. Okay. He didn't quite tell me I was codependent. He slightly offered. and we talked a little bit more about it. Even like reviewed this fable during my session. We read it together, and it was really mind-blowing how much I resonated with this term. All right. So if you haven't heard of codependency, you should look it up just so that you're aware of what it is. You know, you can never know too many things, right? But codependency is an emotional and behavioral condition that affects an individual's ability to have a healthy, mutually satisfying relationship. It is also known as relationship addiction, because people with codependency often form or maintain relationships that are one-sided, emotionally destructive, and or abusive. Okay. And he wasn't, you know, saying that it was bad per se, but to a certain extent, it can get out of control. And that was the foundation of my mental breakdown. I had let myself get out of control as far as trying to control things, trying to control other people, not being able or not feeling like I was appreciated or my help wasn't enough. I tried to do all the things. And as you all know, those of you who do that or have done things like that, it gets exhausting, and over time you get overwhelmed and you start shutting down. And I was not told that I was doing this. Again, this was me working through myself. I literally had to come to terms and be honest with myself. Hence all those other things that I just talked about. I had to be honest with myself and realize what was going on. There were little things in myself that I noticed, like more instances of me feeling unappreciated, more instances of me feeling angry all the time. It was really annoying, right? And you don't stop doing stupid stuff until you're sick and tired of doing it, right? When you're sick of your own stuff, then that's when it's just like, all right, we got to do something about it. And you start doing things that's going to change what you don't like, all right? And so more in depth as to what a codependent looks like or what happens. So when codependents place other people's health, welfare, and safety before their own, they can lose contact with their own needs, desires, and sense of self. Hence what I was going through. Learning this about myself, I always felt that my intentions were good, as most codependents do. They try to take care of a person who is experiencing difficulty, but the caretaking becomes compulsive and defeating. That is what exactly happened to me. That's really just how it is for working moms. At least for me, it is, as far as trying to take care of anyone and everyone, because since becoming a mom, I have two little ones that rely on me for everything. And we feel like we think we know everything, and we know how to fix everything, and this, that, whatever. And that kind of spills over into other sectors of our life, specifically work and friendships, because we feel like we are the mama of everyone. Again, I don't think it's intentional. By no means is it intentional. I feel like it is just the nurturing characteristics that moms typically experience, and we fall in love with it. We get so used to someone else. And again, my kids are so young, I mean, 4 and 1, that is, we are all they know. And I mean, my kids have caregivers in their daycare, but they rely on me for everything, and their daddy, of course. They rely on us for everything, but it had spilled over and into my work, and I was taking on roles and tasks that I had no business taking on, that I had no desire to take on, but I did it anyway. Okay, we have got to stop doing that. Moms, working moms, stay-at-home moms, stop taking on other things that don't serve us. Okay, don't be codependent on other people's opinion of you. Don't be codependent of your kids being happy or sad for the day. Other people's actions and emotions are not our responsibility. And once I learned that, y'all, give people back their responsibility. Okay? Kids or adults, whatever. You have got to let other people do other people. Let them do them so you can do you better. Okay? And that's just how it has to be. And if not, prepare to be exhausted and fatigued and to feel like you are unappreciated, to feel like you have or actually have those unmet expectations because you're so busy doing and going and this, that, and the other that you just don't have time to breathe. That is not always okay. And believe me, I had to learn that the hard way. Just because I'm busy, it was not always a good kind of busy. After a while, I started becoming busy with things that actually served me. Working full-time, having a family, and going to school, yeah, that's busy, but it's serving me. I absolutely love it because it is only making me a better person. Now, if I were doing things that was not contributing to me becoming better or smarter or more loving for myself, then there would be no reason for me to do that. But I am doing things that make me happy and that's going to prepare me for tomorrow. And you should start doing the same. But what do codependent people look like? Let me go ahead and raise my hand, y'all, because it's me. Y'all look like me. But for real. Characteristics of codependent people are, for one, they can have an exaggerated sense of responsibility for the actions of others. Yeah, man. When I tell you, this was just so enlightening for me to just discover that I'm not crazy. I'm not doing something wrong. It was so relieving to just reach that point with myself, to learn about myself and to know what's going on. I felt so responsible for other people making decisions. Don't tell me how. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me how. But it was just the empath in me. I felt like it was just my empathy was overcompensating for something and I had no idea. But anyway, that's just one characteristic, okay? The second one, a tendency to confuse love and pity. With a tendency to love people, they can pity and rescue. We all want to rescue somebody. Three, a tendency to do more than their share all the time. If y'all don't stop taking on other people's tasks, let other people be responsible. Four, a tendency to become hurt when people don't recognize their efforts. Five, a sense of guilt when asserting themselves. Okay, it's all about those boundaries. People get mad at you for setting boundaries when they were the ones benefiting from you not having them. All right, y'all remember that. A compelling need to control others. Lack of trust in self or others. Chronic anger. Again, that's what I was experiencing. That's what opened up my eyes to something being wrong, and then having poor communications, right? And that could be an example of you feel like people are supposed to know what it is that you need or desire, and then when they don't do it, it's messed up or it's dirty, and you have those unmet expectations that you had not even communicated, all right? So those are characteristics of codependent people. If you feel like you fit the script, it is okay. There's nothing wrong with you. Just seek some professional help, read some books, contact me. We can work through this together because it is very difficult to just stop doing something that you've been doing for a very long time. All right. And if these are characteristics that you see in other people, reach out to them to let them know that you care about them and that you want to help them as well. All right. You would only be doing them a favor. But again, it's really up to that person if they are ready to make that change, or if they feel like something even needs to be changed. All right. But rewind it back, listen to those characteristics, take some notes. Again, know that the link will be posted in my description box. So after me realizing all of those things and really coming to terms with what was really going on mentally for me, there were a few things that I had to start implementing that have really gone very well for me. It has improved my positivity. It has improved my outlook on my life. It has changed my perspective on just a lot of things. And I'm going to share a couple of those things with y'all. So I started utilizing this affirmation app. It is called I Am, and it's just the basic version in the Apple App Store that I use. And really, it just gives me daily positive affirmations just about general life. You know, you can purchase the premium and it'll give you different topics of different sectors of your life. But I just got the basic, and just reading them has made all of the difference. The more you repeat positive things to yourself, the more likely you are to become a more positive person. Number two, I definitely implemented counseling. Now that I'm in a new state, it's going to be a new hunt for another counselor, because the work just doesn't stop when you get to self-actualization. You have to keep working at yourself, and you have to keep growing and keep learning. You don't just get stagnant and stay content with that. Every day is a new day. Every month is a new month. Every year is a new year. And you have to keep up with that. I also sometimes still try to maintain my journaling. Now it's more so, I think it's going to just turn into more podcast episodes, because it's so good to talk about it. When you've been holding stuff in or figuring things out and you finally had, you know, that light bulb pop off, it feels really good to just talk to somebody about it, because again, one of those needs are connectedness. So you want to have that connectedness with other people that potentially are going through the same things you are. I also learned to just be me, be happy with me. And no matter how many trophies, medals, accomplishments that I have on paper, you have to be happy with the person that you are, and basically nothing less than that. You keep doing you, keep being the person that you are, and no matter what anyone else has to say about it, you believe you. Go with your gut about yourself, and hopefully it's more positive. And if it's not, again, I highly suggest seek a friend or professional help. I'm always here if you need someone to just let it out to, because it is very important that you have a positive relationship with yourself. That's where it all starts. You can't serve your kids. You can't serve your husband. You can't serve your job. You can't serve your friends if your cup is completely empty and overwhelmed and tired. It don't work like that. Last but not least, I do plan to read this book called Codependent No More by Melody Beatty that was recommended by my counselor. So if at some point I am able to read this book in my extracurricular time, I will definitely come back and talk to y'all about it, because I am very curious about codependency and I do want to learn more about it. I want to learn more about where it stems from, the resource that I'm going to post in the description box, it's going to definitely tell you more about it. But I want to be able to dive a little bit deeper into that so that I can better serve other people when the time comes. So again, those are the things that I do: my affirmation app, a counselor, journaling, doing this podcast, setting boundaries. I missed that one. Setting boundaries. Okay. Let me back it up. So yes, setting boundaries. I had to be able to be comfortable with voicing what it is that I wanted and telling myself that is what I deserved. People want to ask for things and lay down the law on certain things, but then they want to go back and regret it and go back and apologize. No, girl, stop apologizing. That is also, let me pause. That is also a great book. There's actually a book out there called Girl, Stop Apologizing. Her first name is Holly, I think. Anyway, another day. But yes, girl, stop apologizing. People people are going to like you, they're going to hate you. Either way, you be happy with yourself, set down those boundaries, turn around and walk away. Okay, you don't deserve anything less than someone feeling like you don't deserve everything that you're asking for or want for yourself, okay? So again, y'all, this was great. Implement those things, all right? Learn about yourself, figure out what you want to do, and be good at it. Be the best you can be, whatever it is that you want to be, just be the best one.